And I read you several scriptures last week, and I'm not going to go into those. I'm just going to give you a little refresher on them. But I read a scripture of when Abram was called, and God called Abram and told Abram that he wanted him to go into a land that he really didn't know anything about, wanted to leave his family behind. If he went there, God said, if you go there, I covenant with you. This is what we're going, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is my covenant to you. And I told you this is where Abraham got his start. I talked to you about Jacob, as Jacob was fleeing because his brother was trying to kill him because he had stole the birthright and the blessing, which, by the way, it had been prophesied that he was going to get the birthright and the blessing, but he was a deceiver, and because he wasn't trusting God, him and Mama helped God and stole the blessing and the birthright. And so Jacob's out in the middle of the desert. He has the dream of the ladder going back and forth to heaven. God has a conversation with him and says, you know what, if you'll covenant yourself with me to do what I ask you to do, I'll make sure that you don't do without. Surely, he said, surely I've had this meeting with God today, put the rock up there, built a monument to it, called it Bethel. And he said, surely I've had an encounter with God. And that's where Jacob got his start. Moses, God speaks to him through the burning bush and tells him he wants him to go. Moses took a little more coaxing than the other two, but Moses did what God told him, and that's how he got his start. We know that Noah built an ark in the middle of the desert. The earth had never seen rain before that day. So first of all, he's telling a bunch of people that they're going to see something that they've never seen before, which is rain. Second of all, he tells them it's going to rain so much that there's going to be a flood. And the earth at that time had all been watered from beneath the ground. So they had never seen rain. He says, we're going to have this thing called rain. Matter of fact, it's going to rain so much that the earth is going to flood. And he goes out and builds a big boat in the middle of the desert, which and told people they needed to get their lives together and give it to God. And that's how Noah got his start. God spoke to him. That's what he did. I gave you my testimony a little bit. You know, we in this world will say, well, you know, you heard how they got their start, right? And that's how they got started on things. Well, I'm telling you how some people throughout the Scripture got their start. We had Pastor Philip come in. We know that Pastor Philip and Alberta were literally, they were putting contracts on each other. They were in the middle of a divorce, putting contracts on each other to have the other one killed. Alberta gets saved. When she gets saved, she's watching this TV preacher. She doesn't know any different. She's watching this TV preacher. He's talking about seed faith, that you can sow seed and your spouse will get saved. Philip had no intentions of getting saved. He's in the bathroom, so she sows a $1,000 seed to this minister on TV, which goes to show you she didn't know anything about the man. She didn't know anything about anything. She just stepped out in faith, did what she knew to do, sowed this $1,000 seed. Philip's in the bathroom shaving. God begins to speak to him audibly. He tells the Lord, if this thing ever gets boring, I won't do it because I'm not going to live a boring life. And he said he's been living for God ever since, and he ain't been bored yet. Pastor Callahan, as you know, was a heavy drinker and smoker until he was five. And then he got saved, and that's how he got his start. And he really did. His mom married this guy that they left cigarettes and alcohol laying all around in the house, and he went around and, you know, would finish up. And then he got saved, and he quit doing that. And me, I testified about how I'd gotten in a fist fight with my roommate over a pair of sunglasses at 7 o'clock in the morning, loaded up my duffel bag, hitchhiked from Kentucky to North Carolina, where God showed me a series of things with every person that picked me up. I get to North Carolina, my uncle invites me to church. Well, he didn't really invite me to church. I got up, everybody else was going to church. I just did what the house did. Went, guy was preaching on hell. I was sitting there shaking, wasn't really going to make a move up front, but my cousin, who wasn't living for God either, tapped me on the shoulder and says, if you want to go up there, I'll go with you. We walked up there. I gave my heart to God. That's how I got my start. Then 8 months later, maybe, I'm at a, well, it couldn't have been 8 months later, but probably 4 or 5 months later, I'm at a 12-step meeting where these ministers within the church would go to this place and speak to them. And while I'm there, I'd bought a Bible that day. I opened up the Bible that night, and I said, God, you know I want to do something for you. I'm so grateful for what you've done. Open up the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach thy word. Be instant in season, out of season. I close that thing up, and I go, Lord, you know that ain't me. I couldn't even talk about what God had done for me without crying. How in the world was I going to preach? I opened it back up again, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. A new Bible wasn't like wore out to that spot. Then the guy that's preaching stops, and I go, you know, Lord, this is me. There's obviously something else. I'm just missing it here. The guy stops in the middle of his preaching and says, Butch, the Lord just told me to tell you that whatever it is he just told you is exactly what he wants you to do. Never told anybody about it. And then I married Kim. Kim had no plans on marrying a preacher. I'm at work reading the scripture. Start crying, feel compelled to call this guy, meet him at Hardee's that night. He looked at me, he goes, I've been praying. I can't get anything from the Lord. He goes, have you been called to preach? And Kim looks at me like, yeah, have you? And I go, yes, I have been called to preach. I go, I've not shared that with anybody. I really didn't want to go around telling people that, you know. Not because I would be embarrassed to do it, but, you know, I didn't want to go tell people that if I was somehow missing it, which, how do you miss it? But anyhow, that's how I got my start. And then I shared with you and kind of got into the scripture last week about, you know, why are you bringing that up? Starting what? And what is it that we need to start? Well, first of all, if we don't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that's where we need to start. We need to get saved, first of all. So if we don't have a personal relationship with God, we can know we're saved. We confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart on the Lord Jesus. And that's the first place that we start. The second thing that we need to do is we could start being faithful. You know, we live in a society today where people aren't faithful to anybody and they're not faithful to anything. There's nothing in the world that they're faithful to. They've never even seen an example of faithfulness. Well, you know what? What God really looks to is our being faithful. He's always faithful to us, but what he desires from us is, number one, to be obedient. That's what humility. You want to be humble? Here's how you be humble. You obey the word of God. Whatever God's word says, that mess that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, that's a bunch of mess. We used to be a sinner. We're now saved by grace. And humility isn't crawling around telling people how unworthy we are. Humility is simply doing what the word of God says to do. That's what humility is. That's how we humble ourselves before God. Do the word. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And God's looking for faithful people. What is it that you want to hear when you get to heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? That's what I want to hear when I get to heaven. And so, you know what? For me to hear that, then I got to do something down here to hear it, which is be faithful. Now look, there are times when I'm not as faithful as I should be. But my goal is, my desire, the thing that I put in front, where this person's life and ship is headed, is to be faithful. And that's my desire. Above everything else, I want to be faithful to God and faithful to the life that God's given me. So some people could start in being faithful. Being faithful in what? Faithful in church attendance. This isn't the time, you know, preaching to the choir here because you're here, but this isn't the time that you back off church. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by rhema, revelation, word of God. How do you hear? You hear when you hear it preached and taught, or when we read it and the Holy Spirit is ministering that to our heart, right? So, you know, we need to hear the word. It'll change our heart. It'll change our lives. And we need to be in church. We need to be in church to hear the word. You know, we need to be faithful in church attendance. We need to be faithful in the things that God's called us to do. Every person in here has been given gifts. You've been given something to do. You weren't just given, you know, salvation so you can sit there and puff up like a tick and just get full and get full and get full and get full and not give it away. There's a reason why you come and get this word poured inside of you. There's reason that God ministers the word to you and speaks to your heart about the word, because you're to go out and give it away. As you go out and give it away, it depletes what you've got in there, and you got to keep putting it back in. We put it in personally. We put it in how else? By hearing it preached and taught. We need to be faithful in those things. But also, you know, God's got a financial system. And we need to be faithful to God's financial system. God has set up certain spiritual laws. He says, whatever it is that you sow, that is what you're going to reap. That's a law. That's a spiritual law. Just as much as gravity is a law. And if you don't think it is, stand on the rail and jump off and see how much gravity is a law. Gravity is a law. It's a law that that it works the same way every time. Well, you know what? Reaping and sowing, seed time and harvest, all of those things, God's financial system that He has set up in the earth is a spiritual law, and whatever He says in the Word is going to happen, that's what's going to happen. So you know what? We need to get started in some things. We need to get started serving God. We need to get started being faithful to do what God's called us to do. We need to start getting faithful in, how about serving? I never realized how many times just in the book of Genesis alone, where Moses is going back and forth to Pharaoh. If you've never noticed this before, when Moses is going back and forth to Pharaoh, every time he says, God says, let my people go, he tells them that the reason that they have to let the people go is because they have to go for a celebration to serve God. So that the stuff that they need to take and who needs to go is so they can serve God. And who needed to go? Everybody. And what did they need to take? Everything they needed to go. Not only that, they ended up taking not just their stuff, but all the Egyptian stuff too. Why? To go serve God, right? And we need to serve. We've all been called to serve, you know? And lots of people lose track of that. They think they need to get saved so they don't die and go to hell, but there's more to it than that. We've all been called to serve. How? However you can. However you can. When God opens a door, do it. How many of you have ever served and done things that you didn't necessarily feel called to do, but you're a servant and you're going to do what needs to be done? All right? Hey, we've all done that. I've done a lot of things that I didn't feel necessarily called to do, but I have been called to serve. And if I've been called to serve, then I'll try to do whatever it is that needs to be done, because I've been called to serve. Now, financially, clean bathrooms, mowed yards, weed-eated, ripped roofs off of churches, put roofs back on churches, painted, you name it. There's a bunch of stuff. Drove the church van and picked up people that were shut up in their houses. Taught Sunday school classes I wasn't necessarily called to preach, teach. I taught children's church that just wasn't anybody to do it. I probably had as good a time doing that as anything else I've ever done, but it wasn't that I was called to do that. Became a Sunday school superintendent because the church didn't have Sunday school at all. The people's attitude in the church there was, hey, been there, done that, bought that t-shirt, and don't care if I ever go to Sunday school again. That really was their attitude. But I felt like Sunday school was important. And they go, you do? I go, yeah. And they go, well, good, why don't you form it? So I did. And that Sunday school did very well. And still going today. You know, I went to this financial conference, and there's a few things that I was sharing with them that I think is important for us. Talking about serving God and about starting Well, you know, there's some people that never started to tithe, and that's you got to tithe, and not that you got to tithe because I'm telling you got to tithe. I'm telling some people go, I can't afford to tithe. Well, first of all, nobody that ever started tithing could afford to tithe when they started. Number one. Number two, I'm telling you, you can't afford not to tithe. Can't afford not to tithe because who wants to have a curse on their life? And that's what happens when we don't tithe. Some people go, well, tithing's not New Testament. Tithing's Old Testament. Tithing was prior to the law. Tithing happened way before the law was ever given. Tithing was talked about in the law. And Jesus himself said, and it does talk about tithing offerings in the New Testament, but Jesus himself says, you tithe. He's watching them give in a service, and he goes, you tithe, and you ought to, but here's my problem with you. Your heart isn't right about it. You're doing it for a show. You just want everybody to see how much money you gave. But he said, you tithe, and you ought to tithe. Okay? So if Jesus said that, and he did, how can people say, well, tithing's not New Testament? Because they don't know their Bible, and they don't want to give. And here's the first thing I'll tell you. The Bible says that he loves a cheerful giver. If you don't want to give, keep it. You know, if you want to stay cursed, stay cursed. If you want to reap what you sow, which is nothing, then reap nothing. But I mean, I'm just telling you, God doesn't have to have your money. This church doesn't have to have your money. I mean, it would be nice. There's some things that we could do if people were obedient. But you know what? We don't need it. That's not why I'm talking to you about it. I'm talking to you about it because God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. 3 John 2, Beloved, I would that thou mayest above all things prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. There's nothing above all things, okay? So above all things, he would that we prosper. And what? Be in health, just as our soul prospers. That's Pedro and his crew. So it's his will that we, that is his name, isn't it? Okay. I wasn't just saying that because he was Hispanic, and that's the only Hispanic name I knew. I thought I was right. I saw him at Sam's the other day, actually. So anyhow, 3 John 2, Beloved, I would that thou mayest above all things prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy, just as our soul man prospers, to understand that. What's a soul man? Mind, will, intellect, emotions, literally the attitudes of our heart. That's what the soul man is. Hey, Kentucky, it's feeler, thinker, chooser, right? Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. And this is one of my favorite verses. Matter of fact, there's a little chorus that goes along with this that hopefully we can start singing this in church. I've got them sending me some information, but it says this, Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, who hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know, sometimes it bothers me when I hear there's the old religious world would like to keep God's people from being blessed and prosperous. Because they don't believe that that's what God wants to do. They don't believe that God has anything to do with that. Well, you can't read the Word of God and see that God wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to be prosperous. The Word says that. As a matter of fact, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing, which is what comes on our life when we get saved and we know who we are in God, the Bible says that we're commanded blessed, and the blessing will literally hunt us down and overtake us. Well, you know what? Praise God for that. But there are some people that because of what they say and what they've been taught will never receive that blessing because what they say counteracts what it is that God is actually wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives. See, God wants us to prosper. And He has a financial system that He's put in place. And the first part of that is that we tithe. Tithe, the word tithe means tenth. Right? And people go, okay, net or you know, gross or what? Well, you know, gross would be good, but if you hadn't tithed anything, getting started would be fine. And if you're tithing on the net, good. When you get your income taxes back, then tithe on the income taxes. Okay? If you're going to tithe on the gross, if you get income tax back, you keep it. Right? Because you've already tithed on that money. So, hey, there you go. That'll help you. So, some people don't understand that the Bible says we're to give a tenth of what? A tenth of all of our increase. Okay? In other words, if it's increase into our life, then we're to give a tenth of it. And people go, well, if I give a tenth, I can't hardly make it as it is right now. I'm telling you that if you ever get started, you will never stop, because God will do more with the 90 than you were able to do with the 100 on your own. So He says, if you don't believe that's true, try me and see if what I'm telling you is not true. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And then He goes, and because you've robbed me in tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. And people go, well, I thought the curse was removed from my life when I got saved. Well, the curse of sin and death is, but there's a curse on, I'm not talking about just a curse on your finances, there's a curse on our lives if we aren't tithing. And I don't want a curse on my life. I don't know about you. You don't want a curse on your life. So what do we want to do? We want to do what God's told us to do. And we're to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Storehouse is the church. Some people think that they should tithe to the TV preacher. Well, go ahead. And then when you need counseling, and you need someone to come and visit at the hospital, and when you need someone to dedicate your children to God and to lead your children to the Lord and all that stuff, call the TV preacher and see how available they are. They're not going to be very available because that's not what they're called to do. But pastors and the church is the storehouse. The tithe goes to the storehouse. Now, you're giving, you're offering, all of that can go to wherever God directs it. I'll get into that in a little bit. But the tithe goes to the storehouse, which is where you get fed, your home church, your local church. Whenever I hear a ministry say, send your tithe to me, then I immediately cut that ministry off and I won't watch them anymore. Because there's lots of people that are asking for that money to come to them, and that's not their storehouse. The storehouse is the local church, all right? And so I watch that. But I've heard ministries actually ask for people's tithes, and that's not where God says it goes. Why are we supposed to take it to the storehouse? That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Food in my house. Well, you know, so that we can meet together, so that we can share the spiritual food, and we can break bread together, like when we have communion and things like that. He says, and look, if you'll bring your tithe into the storehouse, here's the way it works. You bring your tithe into the storehouse, which is the local church, He will remove the curse from your life and your finances and everything else. And then He says, He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on your life that you can't contain it. And I've been tithing for a long time, and I can still contain everything that he's putting in my life. But I want it until I get it to where this, like the word says, that I can't even contain it anymore. Right? And then, what does He say? He says, He'll rebuke the devourer off our behalf. The devourer is that little stuff that eats your money up. You know, the radio stuck out the side of the tire. You're ran over something in the middle of the road that jammed up. I did that one day not long ago, a couple years ago. driving a little truck down the road. Something fell off the truck. When it fell off the truck, my tire ran over it right by the Hardee's. By the time I got to here, it was totally flat. And I'm like, man, that devourer trying to, you know, that devourer's supposed to be rebuked off of that thing. And but little things like that, you know, will occur. And eat your money up. Refrigerator went out. Last thing, hey, we just bought tires for the car. We ain't got time for the refrigerator to go out. You know, that little stuff, it just continues to eat up your money, right? Then, here's a really important thing. We need to understand this. At the end of it, he says, your words, one version says, have been stout against me. This version says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. In other words, I remember a girl told me one time, she said, oh, I tried that tithing thing, it don't work. Well, what you're saying is it's useless to serve God. When you say, I can't afford to tithe, that tithe is not New Testament, it's Old Testament. When you say, in other words, when you make up an excuse not to give because you don't want to give, right? I mean, which that's the bottom line. If you want to give, you're going to give, right? And so if you make something up like you're saying it's useless to serve God, well, we don't want to do that. I mean, that's the last thing in the world we want to do. We tithe because the curse is removed and it opens up our lives so that we can reap and receive the blessing. And we also need to get started doing something else just rather than tithing. We need to get started sowing. And people go, well, I sowed $20 in church. Well, let me tell you something. If you didn't pay tithe, you ain't sowed. And because unless you paid as much as your tithe was, and you ain't, until you get to that point, you ain't paid a penny in offering. Matter of fact, you still owe God. You don't owe me. You owe God. Throwing 20 in the plate ain't the way you do it. You know, throwing 10 in the plate, throwing 100 in the plate. I know businessmen, they think because, listen, if I make $1 million and you made $10,000, I'm just giving an example. So if I make $1 million and you make $10,000 a year, do you know that my tithe is no more than your tithe? In God's eyes, I haven't given any more than what you gave. Why? Because it's the 10%. Tithe on 10,000 is just as important to God as tithe on 1 million. Right? It's called obedience. If you'll be faithful in a few things, I'll make you a master over many. If you'll be faithful and start where you are, then you know what? As God continues to increase on your life, then He'll continue to pour things into your life. Increase and all these other things in your life. It's a spiritual principle. It happens the same way every time. So if you haven't paid tithe, if you put money in the plate, that wasn't an offering. You still owe God. You hadn't made an offering till you tithe. And whatever was above and beyond the tithe is an offering. Okay? So we need to know that. Look with me if you would. There is a spiritual law for sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. Whatever it is that you sow. Now we're talking about money. But if you sow bitterness, you're going to get bitterness. If you sow gossip, you're going to get gossip. Some people don't understand that. If you sow slander, you'll receive slander. You know the difference between gossip and slander, right? Gossip is something that may be true, but it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be shared.